Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been experiencing some technical difficulty here on the broadcast this evening, but the show must go on. I'm your host, Stephen R. Butler, and tonight's show on the Gospel Light Radio Show will be a special edition with my co-host, Clay Phillips from the state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, my studio is messing up on me here, ladies and gentlemen, so just bear with us here. Presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from Stevie B's Media Production Studios in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be my co-host, Clay Phillips, on the show this evening as he breaks unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will bless him and his family that support his efforts, that he may continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners who are tuning in to this radio show through social media and also through Blog Talk Radio. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies, for we know that our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And we have been faithful unto death. Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into our broadcast this evening. We've been experiencing some technical difficulties here, so we're asking that you bear with us as we go through the show this evening. Hopefully Everything will go all right as we continue on in this broadcast. Now, on tonight's broadcast, my co-host Clay Phillips, he serves as the evangelist for the Rose City Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia. He will be our speaker on the broadcast tonight because this is a special edition, and on the special edition shows, we only have one co-host speaking on the broadcast. So we would ask you to open up your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Clay Phillips. Enjoy the show.
I can't help but smile. Sometimes I can't help but sing. Sometimes I can't help but shout. I know that I just can't help it. I gotta praise His name. Listen, there was a man a long time ago at the gate called Beautiful. He was laid there begging for alms. He'd been crippled since the day he was born. So when they healed his body, you see, he just couldn't hold his peace. He started running through the devil, but give God his praise. I believe I can hear him say, I can't help but run. I couldn't walk yesterday, so excuse me while I jump and shout. And when I think of how he brought me out, I know I may seem a bit emotional. I'm sorry, but I just can't help it. I gotta praise you, I don't know about you, my friends, a situation that you have been in. How we made a way out of no way. How we turned your night to day over when I think of all he's done for me. I just can't hold my peace. I ain't worried about nobody else. Sometimes I can't help myself, my hands are clapping. Yes, they do. Sometimes, you know, my feet start moving, my head starts shaking, my hands start waving. Sometimes the tears start streaming from my eyes. Sorry, I just can't help it. God's praise your name. I don't mean to offend you, but you once said the doctor told us no. Now we're standing here 12 years later with an 11 and a 6-year-old. It's as if you weren't there when I lost my job and my bills were due. If I'm out of nowhere, God stepped in, I know He brought us through. And brother, if you weren't there, Jesus set me free. And when I think about His grace, something gets all over me. And I just can't hold my peace. Taste is just like fire, yeah, set up in my bones. Goodness, I just can't hold y'all. You know God came to heaven's best. Out there on Calvary, I know that I can never repay. So I'm gonna give Him every part of me. So my eyes said, let me thank Him for letting me see a brand new day. You think somebody big get out of bed this morning? You know you wanna give God the praise. And then my hands said, let me thank you. Let me bless His name. You may look at me funny, but no, I'm not ashamed. You see my feet said, don't look at me crazy. Come on and walk them out in my shoes. Before you make it out that back door, brother, you be shouting to us. The Lord, He's been so good.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now, my co-host, Clay Phillips, and his subject, The Condition of God's People.
Good evening. Once again, we're so thankful that God allowed us to be able to come and speak to you on this evening. With the pandemic and what's going on in our society today, I decided to do a subject that I think will be advantageous for us to understand the condition of God's people through this coronavirus, COVID-19. What is the condition? We have a ministerial meeting every first Thursday of the month, the ministers in this area, and we First thing we ask is, how is everybody doing? How the church doing? How your family is doing? How things going on? And so we want to ask you today, and we want to look at the Bible and look at a situation that I believe that it's going to be encouraging to all of us. Turn your Bible now with me to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to read verse 2 and verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. And we find these words written. Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now notice now, Nehemiah is asking Hananiah and some of his fellow workers, how is things going back at home? How is my people doing? How is the Jews doing? How is Jerusalem that represented the house of God? How God's people is doing? And the Bible says in verse number 3, he says, and they said unto him, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province of, they are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now Nehemiah is asking Hananiah and three of the fellow guys, how are things going on back home? What's going on? And they broke it down to him. It wasn't good news. Things didn't look like it was going to be all right. So our subject today is the condition of God's people. I want to know how you're doing through this pandemic. How are things going for you? What is really happening? Are you afraid? Are you scared? And I'm not telling you not to be foolish. We ought not to be foolish, because the Bible teaches us certain things we ought to be kept. The Bible says that we ought to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So we ought to be preparing ourselves. So what is the condition of the people, the Jews, what happened here? Now, I want to say this. When I was in high school and junior high school and even in college, when I played basketball and football and sports, and you have to get in condition. You had to have, you can have a uniform on, equipped, and not be in condition. Or you could be in condition and not have a uniform. And so when I was younger, we had to be in shape. Now, condition is more than physical training. It is more than physical training, even though that has a part of it. The Bible teaches us that bodily exercise profited little. Now, the word literally means something. It doesn't mean it's not valuable. It means something. You need to exercise. You need to condition ourselves. But also, we must understand that there are certain things we need to condition ourselves mentally and physically, not only physically, but spiritually. We need to condition our mind spiritually. And so we need to learn not only to behave ourselves. So as we're going through this pandemic, as we're going through this affliction, notice now the Bible says that when they told Nehemiah what was going on, can't you imagine how he must have felt? The Bible says that he said there was great affliction. They told him there was great affliction. Not only that, and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also had been broken down. And the gates thereof was burned with fire. It was, look at the scene. It was devastating. And Nehemiah going through this. Now, understand this. Let me say this. That God will prepare you for, he will condition you for his task, for a greater task. Now, understand that Nehemiah was captured, and he was a slave. But yet and still, God put him in a position that he can, number one, learn how to behave during a pandemic, knowing how to behave during affliction, knowing how to behave during reproach, knowing how to behave when there is no wall of protection, knowing how to behave when the gates are destroyed. So he was in a place of workmanship that God was working it out for him to be conditioned, that he'd be able to go back to his people. Now, I want you to understand this, that there are four things I want you to understand about condition. Understand this. Now, number one is that condition, when you're in condition, when you in shape, when God prepares you for the task. And I believe that if we are Christians and understand that God, if you was a Bible study, if you prayed and you was consistent in worshiping and serving God before the pandemic, God prepared you for this purpose, that you can be able to encourage those that are going to need encouragement. So, Roman number one is that condition give us background to our heart desire. Number one, condition give us background to our heart desire. Turn with me now to the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, and I want to begin reading that verse number one, Romans 10 and verse number one. Now, remember, Paul was a Jew. And God told him, you won't suffer many things because I need you to go to the Gentile. But also Paul's heart was concerned about his home people, about those that he grew up with, those that he was a part of the genealogy of. And so in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wanted his people to be saved. He wanted the Jews to be saved. So Paul here give us the condition of the background of the heart desire. So when you are conditioned, you want your people to be saved. You want your relatives, your kinfolk, your people that you grew up with, your hometown, whether white, black, blue, green, or yellow, you want all those people that you know to be saved. That's what Paul said here in Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved, for a Babylon worker, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, Paul said, I want you to understand, I want my people to be saved, but they are ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And then verse 4 says, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So here Paul says, my people are still trying to hold on to what God has gotten rid of. Because you notice now, he says in verse number 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It has come to an end. The Old Testament came to an end. And they were still trying to hold on to circumcision and the ceremonial laws and the Sabbath days. And Paul said, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. What is your condition? Are you still trying to hold on to that which was in the street, those things that are in our past? You're trying to hold on to that. And my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is, for my people is, that you might be saved. Number two. Roman number two, condition change our entire life. Listen to me. Listen now. Condition, when you're in condition, when God has prepared you, he prepared you that your whole life has got to change. change your entire life. Not only does it change your life, listen, it starts you on a greater work. It gives you a greater work. So the thing that you were doing that God prepared you, Nehemiah, okay, he was a cupbearer to the king. And he asked his people, he said, tell them now, how is everything going back home? And then I told him, man, there's some fishing going on. There's some reproach, people talking about, oh, look at them. They thought there was all that. There ain't nothing to them. Then he said, now, you know, what is happening to those people, those that escaped the battle? He said, the walls of Jerusalem fell down and the gates is burnt up. So condition here, change your entire life. So here, God has put Nehemiah in the king's palace that he can be able to have access. Listen to this, that he can have access. Whoa, I love this. To everything that he needs. See, God will put you in a place that you might think there is a affliction, that you might think reproach, the king cupbearer. You might think there's something wrong with that. But when God puts you in a position, when God places you in a position, three things about that when God places you in a position that look like there's nothing to it. Notice now, what it does, it fits you for use of what God wants you to do later on. Number two, it makes you not ashamed. It makes you not ashamed to stand up for what is right. Sometimes people just got to stand up for what's right. Amen? Sometimes you got to stand up for what's right. Let me say this. Black lives matter. Yes. But black on black crime matters too. Yes. We can't be committing black on black crime. You're hollering about black lives matter. What is wrong with us? We must understand what is the condition of our people? What is causing our heart desire and prayer of God for Israel that they might be saved? My prayer is that those of you that are marching, fine, when you say black lives matter, make sure that it matters. Black on black crime matters as well. Let's clean up our own neighborhoods. Let's teach our children not to be violent and ignorant. Okay. All right. What is the condition of your people? All right. Condition, change your entire life, and God starts you on a new life. Number three, the condition, remove discouragement. When you are in condition, it removes discouragement. When I played football and I was the best shape of my life, they ain't quite young as I used to be, but I was in the best shape of my life. I didn't worry about the other team on the other side because I was in shape. The coach had me in so much shape, not only physically, Coach Freeman, the head football coach in Brooks County, he understands. When he first came to Quitman, he was going through some stuff, and I pulled him outside, and I grabbed him by the shoulder, and I shook him and said, well, get it together. And from that time on, Coach Freeman been doing what he had to do. Coach Tillman, the same one. Condition is more than physical condition. It's mental, it's spiritual. It's a touch with something that you can't explain. Can I get a witness here? Condition removes discouragement. Let me show I tell you. The Bible says in second chapter of Nehemiah, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 2. Second chapter of Nehemiah, verse number 2. The Bible says, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? In other words, Nehemiah had heard about the affliction, the reproach, the woe, the people suffering. And when he came before the king, see, when you truly are affectionate about your people, when you're affectionate about those individuals that don't know the truth, there's something about you that people can recognize, that the shyness. Sometimes at night, I just wake up with tears in my eyes because I know somebody needs to hear God's word. When you go through something, when you know that God, my God, can change a man's life, because he changed my life. All my life, I felt the presence of God near me. I haven't always lived right. I haven't always did what I'm supposed to do. But one thing I do know, I'm in condition. I feel the presence of God. Even when I played football, I got tired. But I still was in condition. So here we find number three. Condition removed, if you will. Discouragement. Notice, if you will, in verse number 2 of Nehemiah. Wherefore the king said unto him, to me, Nehemiah talking, he says, why did thou come to the shade? Seeing that thou art not sick. So the king said, I know you're not sick, because you can't call in sick here. I know you're not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. What did Paul say? Brother, in my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that I might be saved. Then I was very sore afraid. He said, I'm afraid of the king. Why? Because he thought, you can't go before the king in kind of way. He said, I was afraid to go before the king. I was saying, and the king recognized it. Now, what is this telling us? This is telling us God recognized your sadness. God recognized your sadness. God recognized what you're going through. He recognized the pandemic. God knows all things. His sovereignty works in your life. God recognized all of this. And so, number four. Condition. Listen to me now. Listen. I know it's thundering outside, and rain going, and lightning, and so you might cut off every now and then, but stay with me. The condition, number four, is that event. Listen, it is that event which keep our eyes. Listen to me. It is that event that keep our eyes on the significant that most think insignificant. It is that event that keep our eyes on, listen to me, it is that event, write this down, please write this down. When you are in condition, it is that event which keep our eyes on what is significant that most think insignificant. Woo! Now, let me hit you. I hope I'm still on Facebook, but if not, that's listen to it on the radio. Turn your Bible now. Turn your Bible. Let me show you what is significant. Let me show you what is significant. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this. Revelation. Everybody now turn the Bible with me now to Revelation. If I'm still on Facebook, someone let me know I'm still on Facebook. I believe I'm still on the air with Steve, but I'm not for sure I'm still on Facebook or not. Because it was thundering lightning out here and went off and came back on. But I don't want you to miss this. This is too good for you to miss. So anybody listening and put on there, yes, you're on. Thank you very much. Now turn your Bibles to Revelation. Turn your Bible to Revelation. There are three things I want you to understand about when you are conditioned. Three things I want you to understand when you are conditioned. Turn your Bible now. What is significant? We must learn to understand the dichotomy of that which is significant and that which is not. The problem with our society, the problem with Christians today, we cannot differentiate between that, the riches of God and the riches of the world. The Bible says, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Either you love the one or hate the other. That's called a dichotomy. Now, look at Revelations, if you will, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I want to begin reading at verse number 15, then I'm going to try to wrap this up. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, Jesus, understand, it is written in the word, John is on the island of Patmos. And Jesus is dealing with the seven churches that is in Asia. And here he's showing each church demonstrated a certain condition. Now, in chapter 3, it's going to demonstrate a condition of man that we all need to be aware of. Let us read it now and examine it. Number one, verse 15. I know thy works. In other words, here Jesus is saying, I know thy works. He said, I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. This is encouraging to me. And sometimes when people know what you put in, know your hard work, know what you've done. You can tell when coaches during the summer, when the school start back and the coach come and they see the player and he done bucked up and worked. I mean, he done been to the gym. Sometimes you work without the coach. You exercise. You grow. You develop yourself. And so here, Jesus said, I know thy works. In other words, I know what you've been doing behind the scenes. I know what you've been doing. I'm so glad and so proud of you. He said, I know your works. See, I know you. I know what's going on. I know the pandemic. I know you're afraid. But he said, I know that works. That thou, but he said, now, but let me tell you about your works. Let me tell you something here. That thou art neither cold nor hot. You're neither cold nor hot. I would die with cold or hot. Now, he said, I know your works, but I got some issue with your work. What's your issue? The issue is you're neither cold nor hot. He says in verse number 16, so then because thou art lukewarm. Now, what is that condition in this church or Laodicea? This is the church of Laodicea. What is the condition of the church at Laodicea? They are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will give thee out of my mouth. Now, what it's saying is, it's saying, your condition is so bad that God is saying that I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, you are worthless. Now, what I mean by lukewarm? Lukewarm is, understand that there was three great cities in that area. There was the church of Colossians, and then there was the Apollosius, and then Laodicea that was in that area. And Apodatius were hot. They were doing something. And then you have the Colossians, they were cold. They had cold water and they had hot water. But now here, the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. In other words, they built an aqueduct from the water to come to their city. In other words, they were all inextricably tied up with, listen to me, they was tied up with man-made gadgets, what they can do on their own. And so this is why Jesus is telling the church at Laodicea, I wish you were hot or cold. It'll quit saying that you are religion. Quit saying that you're religious. Quit saying that you belong to me, and then you act like the devil. So he's saying, you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Notice verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Now notice what I'm saying. Their condition, physically, they was a specimen. They looked like they were somebody. They had all the things. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They thought that they had need of nothing. Look at them. They thought they had need of nothing. Because thou said, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing and knoweth not that thou art. He said, now what I want you to understand is your condition is lukewarm. Then he's going to break it down. He's going to break it down to him. Let him know what it means by the lukewarm. He said, you're wretched, you miserable, you poor, you blind, and you naked. What? He says, spiritually, physically, you got riches, you increase in goods, you one of the great countries of the world, but spiritually, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. In other words, you're going all the way back to Adam and Eve. When they recognized they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together, but that was not a sacrifice. God, in Genesis, came down, killed the lamb, or killed something, and made clothes for them, an animal. Sacrifice. Jesus Christ said, I came, I died for you, and you still naked. In other words, you shouldn't be naked. Why? Because what you should have is love and joy and peace. And he said, you ought to be loving one another. And verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried and defined. He said, listen, he said, I counsel you. He said, I want you to understand. I got pure gold right here. I got pure gold right here. Pure gold right here. I got, and it's going to defy that thou mayest be rich. Ha! In other words, understand now. Remember that this, when you talk about condition, it's about the event of which our eyes, put our eyes on what is significant when other people think insignificant. Okay? So here, he says, I want you to understand, I counsel thee. In other words, God said, I love you so much, I gave you counsel. Thee. Buy from me gold. In other words, if you come to me, I'm going to give you what I'm going to give you the best riches and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And now, what do I mean by that? The shame of thy nakedness. When I stand before God in judgment, the sin will not appear because Jesus' blood, good God Almighty. Well, what is my condition? Jesus' blood. It says, do not appear and anoint thine eyes with outside and may see. Then this verse number 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten them. I rebuke and chasten them. He says, the way I condition my people, now I got to wrap it up. The way I condition my people. He said, I chase them. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I chase them. He said, I rebuke and I chase them. I rebuke and I chase them. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He said, all I ask you to do is to repent. My people, which are called by name, my name, if they humble themselves and turn to me and seek my face, I will heal their land. Mm-hmm. What is the condition of God's people? What is the condition of God's people? What is your condition? Huh? Are your condition to the point where number one, back to number one, that you understand that it's by giving background. In other words, that not only, the word giving background, we get our word meditation. Meditation. Dull sound. Background. If I give you some background music, if Steve put on some background music, and Steve be talking, and you can hear the music in the background, that's called meditation. That's called the dull sound. Amen. Amen. Number two, the condition. Change your entire life, and God will start you on a new. And number three, you remember, I t- told you. It removed discouragement and put you in before King. You can get whatever you want. You remember Jesus said there was a man that had two sons. Man had two sons. And I'm gonna wrap it up with this. There was a man that had two sons. The younger son came to him and said, Father, give me my inheritance. Give me my inheritance that I may leave here. So a couple of days, he got his inheritance and went off and lived righteously. Just living large. And then he lost everything he had. Found himself in a hog pen. And he thought to himself, my father have high servants that living better than me. Always remember, we are not about, our condition is about we are children of the King. All three of them, the father and both sons, had relationship with the servant. The younger son in the hog pen said to himself, my father, he thought about servants living better than me. And I'm not having to eat the swine. Eat with the hog, the swine, the food of the swine. I can't believe him doing this. He came to himself. He recognized his condition. Went back home, and daddy saw him, and his daddy ran to him and hugged him, and this is my son home. And the oldest son, God bless him, he was discouraged. What was his relationship with the servant? He came up, and the servant told him, said, your brother home, and your dad didn't kill the fatty calf for him. Oh, the boy got angry. The oldest son got mad. When did he come in? And the daddy said, why you won't come in? Our son that was lost, his condition was bad. But you come to find out that the son that was home had just as bad condition than the son that left. You can be a preacher, an elder, a deacon, a member of the church, and your condition is worse than the people that are living in the world. Why? Because God expects you to have a relationship with the servant. Jesus said, who's the servant? Jesus, I came. I came not to be served, but to be a servant. Then the father told the servant, servant, go kill the fatted calf. What is your condition today? What is your condition? What is God people's condition today? Whatever it is, I got some good news. All you got to do, according to Revelation, is repent. Ask God to forgive you. If you're a Christian now, ask God to forgive you. If you're not a Christian, you must hear the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the sacrifice. You must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized that I make the new Christian Christ Jesus. That's the sacrifice. Jesus have already died and rose again on the third day to save you. So my condition is that, hey, I once was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. My condition, I can see clearly now that God loved me. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because God already knows your condition. He knows you're condemned. But through him that we might be saved. I'm your speaker. Hope and pray that you enjoyed it. Hope you got everything. Thunder and lightning. And Steve had some issues as well. And so I pray that everything well. And what is your condition? May God. My heart desire and prayer to God for Israel, for my people here, that you might be saved. God bless you.
Have a little talk with my Jesus. up and wrote my name above. Now just a little talk with Jesus make me whole. And let's take
Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition. Ladies ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in to our radio broadcast. We've been having some technical difficulty on the show tonight. I guess it's because of the storms that we have on the East Coast. But we made it through the show, and we certainly appreciate those who've been tuning in to the show through social media and also through Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just thrilled to be able to bring you a weekly broadcast. I want to thank my co-host, Clay Phillips, for that fine job. He always does a fine job on this radio show for making this proclamation of the gospel of Christ, and we certainly appreciate his efforts on this broadcast. It is our prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that the lesson that was given on the show this evening has been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're not only tuning into this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and on behalf of my co-host on the Gospel Light Radio Show, we really do appreciate your love and support for these programs. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Lord, it's me.
It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
Ain't nobody else but me.
It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
Oh, it's me.
It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
Standing right here.
Prayer.
Say it again and tell us it's me.
It's me.
Uh-huh.
It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
Oh, it's me.
It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
Oh, it's me.
It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
What you done with me? And I'm standing
in the need of prayer.
Say for me one more time, it's me.
It's me.
Uh-huh.
It's me. It's me, oh Lord.
Ooh, it's me.
It's me. It's me.
I'm testifying.
It's me, oh Lord.
Oh, it's me.
It's me. It's me.
Yes, it
it's
is.
Me, oh Lord.
Out here, just
standing in the need of prayer.
It's not my mother.
It's not my mother, but it's me.
It's not my father.
It's not my father, but it's me.
It's not my sister.
It's not my sister,
ooh,
but it's me.
It's not my brother.
It's not
today.
My brother, but it's me.
Out here just
standing
in the need
of prayer.
In the need of prayer. Sometimes burning will press me down to my knees. That's all right. Standing in the need of prayer. Sometimes I have to stand all alone. Ooh, Lord. Standing in the need of prayer.
In the need of prayer.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition.
Feeling kind of good. and I'm feeling kind of strong. Things have been running so smooth, but that wouldn't last for long. Now I hear somebody knocking. I did as I'd done before. I twisted the knob and there he was. The devil was at my front door. He said, I know you're kind of busy. I was just in the neighborhood. I hadn't seen you in quite a long while. Heard you were doing so good. I was wondering if I could come in, sit down and visit a spell, and just judging from that smile on your face, you've been missing me too, I can tell. Now what he fails to realize is that my Lord's will I won't compromise. He's my sword and my shield. I won't yield to your tricks. He has made me wise. So
I ain't got time for you. Be on your way, cause
be on your way, Satan.
I ain't got time for you. My focus is on His will.
Much work to do, ain't got time for you, and I don't have the time to wait. Now don't you come back around. It's His grace and His peace that I found. He supplies all my needs. He's there for me, and He'll never let me down. So
I ain't got time for you.
Be on your way. Be on your way.
I ain't got time for you.
I'm walking the straight and narrow.
Be on your way, cause you cannot pay. I ain't got time for you.
I ain't got time for you.